Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday or Friday or Thursday. Hello and welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. Let me start with a huge announcement. I am beyond excited and just have to share my exciting news with all you guys, friends and community. So on Tuesday, my book, High Heels to High Viz, launched globally on Amazon. And guess what? You may already know, but for those that don't, and I need to say it for myself to hear it again and again, as it still doesn't make it sound real anyways, but I'm so happy to announce that my book went number one in the careers job hunting category on Amazon. Check it out on your local Amazon online store. It's a number one bestseller on Amazon. I'm over the moon and so happy and mostly greatly appreciative of everyone's support. So a massive thank you from the bottom of my heart. So my book has even a glow on it now. It has a big gold star that says Amazon number one bestseller. Woohoo! If you'd like to purchase a copy of High Heels to High Viz, go to my website, www.kickasswomen.com.au, and click on the Buy Now link. Okay, let's get back to the show. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. Today is episode 7, all about how do you feel on a Sunday? I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow-getter. My background is I'm no stranger to wearing high-vis workwear, getting down and dirty in the grease and coal dust. I have over 30 years' experience within the heavy equipment, earth-moving, civil construction and rail industries, and I hit the track running, so to speak, 7 years ago and now work as a coal train driver. Yes, you heard me right. I drive a coal train. And I can honestly and genuinely say I love my job. And my passion now is to really wanting to encourage more women to consider these non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences and understanding of the industries. So here we are on the radio show. So if you know me, you know how colourful my personality can get. And if you don't know me yet, I promise you we'll have fun getting to know one another. I really love getting to know my tribe, and I'm really excited to be sharing our career experiences, industry knowledge, know-how, and insights. So today, we're going to be talking about the Sunday blues. Good morning to all my listeners across Australia, and a very pleasant good afternoon to our listeners in the US. I hope we can keep you in good company and provide you all with a little more valued insight into some much-needed topics for women wanting to transition into these varied industry sectors. I'll also take this opportunity to say today's episode is brought to you by one of the show's sponsors, Kick-Ass Women. Kick-Ass Women is all about a future in the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. Kick-Ass Women reinforce, support and inspire women to step out of their comfort zones, find their kick-ass attitude and tap into their steel caps. Everyone is capable of doing the job. So what are you waiting for? Go on, get your glow on. A shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today. This might be a good time to mention also that the radio show does and may contain adult language. Let's get into it. Let's do this. So today here on the show, I want to talk about how you feel on Sundays. And I think this question is extremely important, how we feel the Sunday before we start our week or how we feel the night before. So, right, for some of us don't necessarily work Monday to Friday, so whatever your roster or schedule is, how are you feeling that night before you actually have to go back to work after you've done or had a couple of days off? You've just got into the swing of the weekend and or at the end of a relaxing weekend or days off, spent with family or friends around 4 p.m, that Sunday arvo session of blues kicks in. A cloud of dread creeps over so many of us. Thoughts suddenly turn to the looming Monday, the first morning back on shift. Yep, you've guessed it. It's hit you. You've remembered. Sunday night's here again already, and tomorrow is Monday. Your first day back at work or back on shift. Cue, setting alarm clocks, tossing and turning in bed, worrying about that early morning rise, the peak hour traffic, or the jam-packed commute, and you're suddenly wishing you could wind back the clock and do the weekend or days off all over again. Yep, me too. Sometimes we get so caught up in the rigmarole of work that we forget to think about whether it's what we really want to do or whether we even like doing it. Do you start to get that feeling in the pit of your stomach when the weekend draws to a close, a growing sense of dread at the thought of work on Monday or the first shift back? Don't despair. You can beat the back to work, back on shift blues. So our Sunday or our last evening feeling is so ordinarily associated with work and the idea of going back to work after a most enjoyable and pleasant break. It's not uncommon to feel daunted as each new week brings a unique set of challenges. A small amount of sadness is normal. In fact, a poll from Monster.com found that 62% of workers regularly experience these types of feelings. So after 2 days of freedom, or your 5 or 7 days off, whatever your roster may be, you're back at the desk, you're back on site, you're back on the tools or behind the levers of your machine come the morning. So of course, you'll be a little bit displeased. It's really important to think about this because this is going to give you a lot of insight as to how satisfied you are with your career or position. And it might help you evaluate what sort of changes you need to make in your career life, or well as your life in general. So that's my question for you today. How do you feel on Sunday nights or the night before you're due back on shift? When you're thinking about this, do you really get excited? Are you eager? Are you really energised? Do you get really motivated? And you're just like, you know, you're ready for Monday morning, you get up, get dressed, and you're ready to go. Or on the flip side, on Sunday nights, do you find yourself feeling really bummed or maybe depressed? You may be feeling exhausted, really stressed or anxious. Some people feel really overwhelmed on Sunday nights when they're taking a look at what their week is going to look like and, you know, really dreading going into work or back on site or on shift. And, you know, some of us even get like physically sick. So I remember at one point I had a job and I hated, I dreaded it. I was miserable and I would physically get stomach aches on Sunday nights, Monday morning, the whole day. And then when I got home, magically felt better. But then later on in the night, I would start to get those same stomach aches. And so we need to ask yourselves, you know, give a true, honest evaluation. How do you feel on Sunday nights? I would encourage everyone to write down just your thoughts. Think there's something really special that takes place when we put pen to paper on how we're thinking. And if you know me, you know I love writing things down. So take some time to evaluate that and think it through. So if you're part of that first group of emotions I mentioned earlier, you know, you're excited, you're eager, you're motivated, you're energized when you think about Sunday nights, I want you to pause for a second. Just pause and think about that. That is something so special. I think there are so many people that want to feel that, but not everyone is there yet. So I want you to just have a really overwhelming of gratitude if you're in that first bucket, because that is something amazing. And if you have that, I would encourage you to tell your friends, not in like a bragging way, like, oh my gosh, I've got the best job I have ever, you know. No, not like that, but encourage your friends, like show them that they can be happy. And, you know, if it's you or if you know the company that you're working for that's giving you a lot of those positive emotions, maybe some of your friends could join the company and work there as well. And maybe, you know, they can start to be better themselves and enjoy their careers. This is the bucket I sit in. I can honestly and genuinely say I love my job and it puts a spring in my step, just saying. So if you're in that second group, I really want to let you know that you can have the career that you've always dreamed of. And I think it's important for you to know that, and I'm not just saying it's going to be handed to you on a silver platter, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think a lot of people get so discouraged by the day-to-day frustration, the day-to-day overwhelm, the day-to-day stress that we sometimes lose sight of the light at the end of the tunnel. So I want you to hear me when I say you can have a job that brings you joy, that brings you happiness, You can do this kind of job and you can enjoy it and be excited and passionate about it. And a job that gets you motivated and energized on a Sunday night. And, you know, jazzed up, raring and ready to go. Now, let's talk a little more about the second group of people. You know, the Sundays can definitely be hard, and I totally understand that. I have had several positions, several companies, several jobs where some days would be my least favourite time of the week. You know, I very clearly remember how I felt on Sunday nights before I had to go to one of specific job that's coming to mind in reality. You know, reality, it was a customer service position and was like full on work. And the customer is always right, right? So to me, like literally, this was the worst job. Terrible leadership. The higher management and the company were great, but my immediate leaders were just terrible. There's like no other way around it or way to describe it, and I hated the job, and that just makes it worse, right? Like when your leaders aren't that great of leaders, and on top of that, you hate your day-to-day. You hate the job. You hate the minute-to-minute, and no joke, it was minute-to-minute dreading in this position. I'm just being totally real with you. I like to say I would get sick, physically sick. My stomach would hurt and I would get knots and I just want to go home. So if you're in that boat, just know that like there are other people out there in the same boat as you. However, you can get out. This is not the position you are going to be in forever. And we can get you into something that you really love. I just want you to know that. So at the end of the day, if you're on that bucket, that the second bucket, right, the bucket of emotions, if you are a person who is overwhelmed, stressed, and you get a stomach ache thinking about going back to work after a fun weekend, this is not the one-offs. I just want to be clear. Like, we're not talking about the one-offs. It was a fantastic weekend. It was so much fun. But you're bummed about the weekend's over. I'm not talking about that group of people. I'm talking to the group of people who hate their job. It's miserable to them. Those are the folks that I really want to provide you with three options today. Three options that you can do to get yourself out of that situation. So the first one is very obvious, right? The number one, our number one option is if you hate your job, and you don't like your company and you don't like your boss, is to find a new job. And this might not be the best option for everybody, but how are you going to know? So some signs that you would know this is potentially the best option for you is ask yourself, do you like your job? Do you like the company you work for? Do you like the role within the company? Do you like the person that you work for? How do you feel about the team or the crew you're on? The first thing you need to figure out is what about your role is making you dread going into work? What about the role is making your stomach hurt on a Sunday night, thinking about Monday morning going to work or the first shift back? So figure that out, whether it's the role itself, so your day-to-day, whether it's your leaders, your manager, whether it's your team or your crew, whether it's the company. Think about that. So I would encourage you to literally write out your thoughts on those bullet points, those questions I ask. And then after you figure out how you feel about the job, the company, your role, the person you work for, and the team or crew you're on, then you have a subset of options. So number one option is to find a new job. And when you dislike your job or the role that you have, but you love the company you work for, then an option for you would be to let your line leader or manager know that you would like to explore other opportunities within the company. And some companies say you have to be in your current role for a year or 12 months or whatever have you. So if you're under that, you know, you might just have to stick it out. But if the company is amazing, it might be worth it for you to stick it out. And if the company is not so great, then we'll get to that. So just let your line leader or manager know you want to expand your skill set. You want to job shadow a couple of other people. So maybe let's use an example. Maybe you're in that customer service type of role I mentioned before, but you're interested in a field position or you're interested in IT or finance or whatever the case may be. Let your line leader or manager know you want to take some time, you know, to shadow a couple of people in different departments to learn a little bit more about some other options. And then kind of piggybacking off that, I would also take a look at the current internal job postings for your company. Different studies have different percentages out there around the statistic. However, it's anywhere between 80 to 95% people who quit their jobs leave because of their direct leader. So it's not the role, it's not the company, it's the person they work for. And it's unfortunate because I think there are a ton of amazing leaders out there in the workforce, But I also think there are a ton of really shitty managers out there who lose really good, awesome talent because they refuse to develop themselves as leaders. So, you know, then, and sometimes I guess you're maybe your best option is to leave the company and go look at a better opportunity that is going to make you less miserable. Because I promise you, once you are happy in your work life, everything else in your life gets better. Everything. I guarantee that. It's kind of like people always talk about work-life balance. And I don't necessarily believe people ever have true work-life balance. I think life is not ever consistent enough for us to have a work-life balance. And so what I mean by that is sometimes you have a lot going on at work and you have to sacrifice a few extra hours a week to give work. And sometimes you have a lot going on in your personal life and you have to put it there, you know, do your minimum. Maybe that's 40 hours, maybe it's 32, depending on, you know, what your schedule is, so that you can take care of your family and what's going on at home. So when I say there's not a work-life balance, I say it, that meaning it's kind of an ebb and flow situation. Sometimes work is high and home is a little bit calmer and vice versa. A balanced life is not a perfect life, but it will steer you towards a better life. Yet while the subject of balance remains an important issue for many, it isn't always the easiest to find. We are all fundamentally understand that making time for the things that matter in life is important, but demanding careers often send us down the path of total imbalance. So our first option was to get a new job. Our second option is to make your current job better. And what I mean by this is after you get very specific about what it is making you hate your job, you can have a conversation with your manager on some ideas on how to improve your situation. So let's say as you were writing out your answers on some of the questions I asked earlier on what is making you so upset on the Sunday nights, and maybe you've realised it is your workload, and maybe, for example, it's your schedule. You know, it's something along the lines where you can have a really open and honest, candid conversation with your manager and see if you can change that. Maybe your current schedule is 7 to 4 and you're not a morning person and you would rather work the afternoon or the night shifts. I don't know what the situation is, but I would encourage everyone that if you really like your manager, you like your day-to-day work, but you're really just unhappy because of something that seems a little bit more on the simple side, something like the scheduling or something along those lines, talk to your line leader or manager and have a conversation. See if you can make something better before you just say, screw it, and I'm out of here. So sometimes the grass is greener, but sometimes it's not, right? And that's just life. So if it can be an easy fix, I would encourage you to have the conversation. Maybe it's not a schedule thing. Maybe it's, like I said, it's your workload. And that could be good or bad, right? Maybe you don't feel like you're being challenged enough and you want to take on some more responsibilities or some more tasks to do more. Or maybe it's the flip side of that. Maybe you have way too much work and you can't handle it all and you need help. You need someone to take some of that work off your plate, or you need your line leader or manager to tell you what your priorities are and kind of give you that permission to set aside things that aren't important. So a bit of a recap. Option number one was find a new job. Option number two was make your current job better. Option number three, stick it out. Can I say that this really isn't an option though? Like, I put it there because a lot of people do it. I gave it to you as number three because I hear a lot of people tell me how much they hate their job, and then they hate their job some more 6 months later, and then 6 months after that, that they are still hating their job and they are just kind of sticking out. So it's there because people do it, but I don't want you to feel like it's an option. I think we are all in control of our careers, and if you are not, you need to take control of your career because no one else is going to have a vested interest in your career. A higher vested interest in your career than you are, period. End of subject. It's your career and you need to make sure you're mapping it correctly. And I strongly believe everyone deserves to enjoy the work that they do, enjoy their job and find that best fit. I really do believe that. No one should be miserable going into work every day. Nobody should get stomach aches on a regular basis because of work. That's not healthy. It's not normal and it's not okay. You have to take control of your career to make it better. You have to. So here's what I want to leave you with for this first section. So our options again, we're going to recap. Number one, find a new job. Number two, make your current job better. Or number three, is stick it out. There are several ways to improve your work life. Sometimes that's being open, honest, candid with your conversation. Maybe it's doing job shadowing to see if there could be a different position within the company that's a better fit. Maybe it's taking more responsibilities on different teams or crews within your company. And maybe it's finding a whole new job with a whole new company. You need to decide what's going to be best for you. If you do dislike or hate your job, you dread Sunday nights, you're unhappy with your work life, please do not do nothing. Do something. I'm begging you, do something about it. Don't take the passenger seat with your career. Get in the driver's seat and take control. And here's the thing, because when we hate how we spend our working hours, we're overstressed, we have less energy or unhappy, and it's a domino effect to every other part of our life. Think about it. You have a really crap day at work and you come home and you're cranky to whoever is at home waiting for you, and maybe you wake up the next morning and you're still cranky from the day before. Now we have the domino. And then vice versa. If you have a really amazing day at work, you come home, you're really happy, you're in a good mood, that domino effect can affect you the rest of the week, the month, and so on. What you do on a regular basis, day to day, for your job matters. And that's what I really want everybody to understand. So you and your family deserve for you to be happy and to have the life you want. And you can get there. So there's a tool for discovering work you love. Perhaps you feel a bit lost when it comes to your career. Maybe you want to work on projects that more closely suit your passions and interests, or maybe you want to take on new responsibilities in your career. There's a brilliant tool called the MPS process, which can hold the answer. It can help you to gain useful insight into what makes you truly happy by prompting you to look more closely at what brings you meaning and pleasure and what your core strengths are. According to the MPS process, if you can find tasks and jobs that combine all three of these elements, then you'll likely feel happier and motivated and be more productive in your career. As the Chinese philosopher Confucius said, find a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. So don't give in to those Sunday night blues. Take the time to work out what you love to do and do it. So my final question I'm going to leave you guys with is, how are you going to take control of your career? What's going to be the first step for you to do in the next 24 hours to help you take control? You can use my infographic, which provides a step-by-step guide on how to apply that MPS process to your life and discover work that you love. I'll post the infographic up on social media, and also you can email me at jody@kickasswomen.com.au. That's J-O-D-Y at kickasswomen.com.au, and I'll send you the infographic. And let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, so we're going to take a little break. Enjoy the tune, and I'll be back with you soon. Okay, thanks for tuning back in. Sorry, we're just having a few little techie issues here, so hopefully we can get through the rest of the show. Okay, let's talk about our mindset, because that's critical to how we face the working week, month, life, and our personal life in general. Attitude mindset, you've probably heard the saying, attitude is everything. As cliche as it sounds, mastering your mindset is critical to your success and joy in life. The definition of mindset is the established set of attitudes held by someone. You have a choice in the way you perceive whatever is going on. You have the power to choose whether you think the glass is half full or half empty. At some point in your career, you've probably felt unsure about the direction you're going. Maybe you're not seeing a future with your current employer. Maybe you don't have a manager who's equipped to coach you to be successful. Or maybe you're not on the right development plan to achieve your goals. But above all, the biggest obstacle to your career could be your own attitude and mindset. Attitude is the fuel that drives behavior. It determines the ways in which you think and feel. It sets the tone for your emotions and how you react to what happens in the workplace. It not only affects what you do, but how you do it. Your work attitude not only affects how well you do your job, but it also affects how safe you are when doing it. Positive people usually perform better in the workplace because they maintain an open mind and consider the outcome of their behavior. Have you seen people who don't have the right attitude? They complain and bring others down or are negative. They make excuses for not accomplishing their goals and easily give up. It is natural to have these feelings sometimes, but if it becomes your overall mindset, it can be trouble. Negative people, on the other hand, complain about everything, including having to practice safety. The person with a negative work attitude is less likely to care about the quality of the job he or she is doing or how he or she does it. A negative work attitude can lead to unsafe work habits and accidents. Attitude and mindset are an important aspect of the process involved in attaining a career within these industry sectors. If you think you just want a job in these industries just because of the money or the roster, then here and now your attitude must change. And the great news is you can change your attitude and mindset. You don't need special skills or a charismatic personality to decide to think differently. It is true that these industries hire inexperienced people and pay them the big money. However, these companies learn to take calculated risks on certain individuals that show promise, aptitude to learn, great work ethic, and most of all, keenness. A winning attitude will be full of positivity, interest, exceptional work ethic, an ability to be a team player no matter what the task, loyalty, and of course, a serious approach to safety. When you have a positive safety attitude, you think first and then take action. Your mind is able to recognise unsafe habits or behaviour. You stay alert while on the job. Your positive safety attitude helps you to recognise hazards that arise and respond appropriately. Your mind is focused on your work and you pay attention when you work with machinery and equipment. With a positive safety attitude, you develop work habits that lead to greater organisation and efficiency. Your attitude is like a price tag. It shows how valuable you are. Why having the right mindset is important? Let's look at two distinct mindsets that we'll outline. One is the fixed mindset. You believe your abilities and intelligence are static, so you need to prove yourself over and over. You tend to avoid challenges, give up easily, and ignore useful constructive feedback. The other is the growth mindset, number two. You believe you have the ability to learn and grow through effort and practice because you embrace challenges, stay persistent in the face of setbacks, and welcome constructive feedback. The clear difference between the two mindsets is that one creates a need for approval while the other builds a passion for continuous learning and growth. If you suspect your career has become more about chasing approval than personal growth and development, don't worry, there's always time to develop a growth mindset. In this day of stress and burnout, mindset is even more critical. How we approach these stressful periods and situations is an important part of how we thrive and prevent burnout. Potential actions to avoid burnout can include resilience, grit, and mindset, and recognizing emotional regulation. Adopting positive attitudes has also been identified just as important to wellness and resilience. Emotional regulation is recognizing that you are angry, upset, or excited, but keeping those feelings in check so they don't feel overwhelming. Women traditionally tend to show their feelings more than men and can sometimes let their emotions inform their decision making. Knowing yourself is important for emotional regulation and impulse control. This is a bit like emotional regulation, but refers to behaviors. Good impulse control means that you are able to think and feel strongly about something, but keep your behaviours in check. It's not just about keeping your cool when you feel angry, but also being able to act assertively, even when you don't feel confident. Adopting a growth mindset can be challenging because it pushes you out of your comfort zone, but that comfort zone is a dead end. By taking a new attitude towards your personal growth, you open yourself up to greater possibilities. Not to mention, you'll begin to reach your full potential, one of the greatest accomplishments anyone can feel in their career. Do you know great minds enjoy excellence? Average minds love mediocrity, and small minds adore comfort zones. So now I'll give you some strategies to work with to effect an effective mindset. First off, listen to yourself. The voice of a fixed mindset will stop you from following the path to success. Use thought awareness to recognize your negative thinking. Recognize that you have a choice. Simply put, you can control your mindset by making a decision. Only you can control it. Challenge your fixed mindset. If you begin to hear yourself thinking negative thoughts like, I'm not smart enough, remember to believe your abilities can be developed and express and growth mindset. Everything can be figured out. Take action. Practice the growth mindset. Trust yourself to encourage learning and open discussion. Use the right words. Use statements like, I have a positive attitude, or we'll find a solution in daily conversation. The words you use on a daily basis have a major impact on your attitude and moods. Strive for optimism. Having a positive attitude is something you should strive for. It isn't something you are or are not. It is something you become. What company do you keep? Do your friends have negative attitudes? Does it rub off on you? Many times the company we keep can affect our attitudes. If your group at work or home negatively affects your attitude, take the necessary steps to change the situation. If all else fails, change the people around you. When you know you need a change, when you know you aren't happy, admit it to yourself and take action to reverse it. Listen to what others say. We may like to tell ourselves that we are positive people, but it's not always true. Listen to what your friends say about your attitude. They may say things that you don't want to hear, but sometimes the best changes in life come from constructive criticism. What makes you happy? When you know what makes you upset, you will be able to avoid these situations and save yourself the tension and frustration they bring. If it is a situation that you cannot avoid, learn how to make the best of it. This is vital to your attitude and mood. Your happy buttons will serve to improve your attitude again and again. Appreciate the things you have. Look around you and learn to appreciate everything you have in your life. Your family, friends, career, home, food, car, etc. It's enough to create a positive attitude, because no matter how bad things get in life, we still must be thankful for everything we still have. Put things into perspective and enjoy the good things in your life. Think twice before you act once. Look at problems logically. When you let emotion take over, you may do things that made sense at the time, but in the end, were not the best choices. Before you act, think about what your actions will cause. If a person does something wrong that negatively affects you, don't attack. Think about the best response. Only after you've done this twice should you take action. React versus respond. These two words are the difference between a happy, enthusiastic, positive person and a sad, frustrated, negative person. When anything happens in life that affects you, both directly and indirectly, respond to the situation. This means you think about it, use reason to find a solution, and take the appropriate measures. When you react, you skip the reasoning stage and do what comes naturally in the moment. This only serves to cause more problems and frustration. Respond. Do not react. Don't join the gossip. Don't join in the negative conversations around you. If you see a conversation heading towards that road, excuse yourself politely and leave. Start in the right direction. Wake up with a smile and with energy. You have a lot to accomplish and enjoy today. Life is short and you're going to make the most of this day and every day after that. Focus on interesting ideas or concepts in every training session you attend. Be prepared to enjoy your learnings. Do not accept the work as drudgery or painful. Make it joyful by looking for a positive aspect. Associate positive people in your work group or your work crew and your workforce. Tell your friends of new discoveries. Explain to them an idea or concept and share your passion and positivity. List and document your progress in discovering new ideas. Keep a journal of your positive attitude and how it is affecting your outlook on work, how it is affecting how others perceive you. So we were talking about work ethics. Work ethics include not only how you feel about your job, but also how you do your job. This involves attitude, behaviour, respect, communication and interaction, how you get along with others. Work ethics demonstrates many things about whom and how a person is. Work ethics involve characteristics as honesty and accountability. Your personal work values should include not only strong work ethic, but the foundation of a combination of the following: dependability and responsibility. Being dependable and responsible for your actions and behaviour as an employee shows your employer that you value your job. Possessing a positive attitude, employees who take the initiative and have the motivation get the job done in a reasonable time frame. It is the enthusiastic employee who creates an environment of goodwill and who provides a positive role model for others. Adaptability, employees who are adaptable and maintain flexibility complete their tasks in an ever-changing workplace. Being open to change and improvements within the organisation along with adapting to the personality and work habits of co-workers, contributes to what it takes to work effectively in a team. Honesty and integrity. Maintain a sense of honesty and integrity above all else. Good relationships are built on trust. Self-motivated, be an employee who requires little supervision and direction to get the work done in a timely and professional manner. Working in a supportive work environment and taking initiative to be self-directive will provide a better sense of accomplishment and increase self-esteem. Motivated to grow and learn is an ever-changing workforce. Seek out and learn new skills, techniques, methods, and or theories through professional development in keeping up with new developments and knowledge in these fields. So think through the toolbox topic we've been talking about in regards to your mindset and your attitude. In other words, engage your mind before your actions. Look, identify what you are striving for and whether your attitude and mindset translate into the required behaviour. And then assess the approaches we take to assessing learning, the kinds of tasks we assign, and the way we report success or failure with ourselves send powerful messages to you, not only about your own learning, but also about the nature of learning itself. And then manage. Mastering your mindset is an inside job. It requires time and effort on your part to focus on yourself. When you feel prepared and ready for your day, you are much better able to be strong and there for yourself. So I'll leave you to think about that for a little while, and we'll come back to do our take five. To wrap up the show, don't let the anticipation of Sunday blues stop you from enjoying your weekend or keep you from doing what you get done at work. You may not be able to fully shake off the feeling of the unease that precedes the week, but trying a few of these tricks is sure to help. So here are your take five tips to mental floss. Kick off those heels. One, identify and understand what you want to change. Two, look for a role model. Three, think about how your attitude change will affect your life. Four, choose the right company for you. And five, believe that you are able to change and adapt. So we need to remember that if you're not happy, you need to change. It's up to you to change. So that's it, guys. I do hope you found the information helpful and valuable, and I hope you enjoyed the Sunday Blues session. Lastly, on the blues, your week really is what you make of it. It doesn't have to be going to work, eating a sad lunch at your desk, going home, eating a sad takeaway when you get home, going to sleep and doing it all again. I suggest just spend Sunday arvo distracting yourself, taking care of yourself, and pretending it's not Sunday night. So if you want to keep it chill, do something crazy like relaxing. Take a bath, light the candles and meditate. Lay there and listen to some light and relaxing or soothing music. Trust me, Monday isn't so bad. You've survived it before. A Sunday well spent brings a week of content. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn or Instagram. Come back next week. We're going to get into some self and personal growth and development. Today's episode was brought to you by Kick-Ass Women. Everyone is capable of doing the job. Make sure to follow me on my Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages if you haven't already, where we will break down the episode throughout the week. And also, don't forget, my book, Become Number One Amazon Bestseller. If you haven't got a copy of it, head on over to www.kickasswomen.com.au and click on the buy link and grab your copy now. I'd really love to hear from you guys. I love it when you reach out and give me your feedback and any suggestions you may have for topics you may wish for me to discuss in regards to women pursuing a career within these industries. Also, if there is something that you're struggling with or if you're wanting additional help, you want to dig deeper, you need some direction, maybe you need help with some coaching, let me know. If I can help out, I would love to. You can send me an email. My email is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au, or find me at Facebook, facebook.com/kickasswomenaustralia, and be sure to stay tuned in for future episodes. That's all for today.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.